readouts. This should come out as 006. But that's not necessarily in chronological order because it's later than some of the other stuff I've written that I haven't put into sequence yet. June 7th, 2021. The subject of this one is the forces that I think are genuinely endangering the operation of democracy. That is a deep topic, needless to say, and it's also a complicated one, so I hope I have good words for this. There are several elements in my mind that have caused me to have been saying this for several months now, that this is a genuine risk. I'm sure a lot of people think that there's problems with democracy because of the way some of the elections have gone, and also because we've had some physical demonstrations, which are obvious problems with any sort of government, because it means that there's somebody that's so unhappy that they're going to fight physically for it, and government is generally supposed to minimize that. But that's not actually what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is more of a technical, biological concept. There are, as I said, several elements, so let me lay them out here. One, we have a limit to the number of things we can consider at a given time or through a given period of time when we're trying to learn something, make up our minds, etc. Two, obviously we have an information overload because that term has been applied to an entire era for many years now, information overload, the era of information overload. Three, we have forces now in play that can cause so much information to come at one person in a short amount of time that it can override number one, and that is a biological limit that we don't have a way around. And then I'll see if I go into any where do we go from here elements past number three. So number one, we have a limit as to how much we can handle at once. This is not a new concept. It's been talked about a few times, but I don't think it's usually focused on directly in our education system. It is a given that we have a certain of what we call bandwidth or whatever you want to call it. We can only handle a certain amount of information at one time. We can only process a certain amount of information when we make a decision. One of the points of what we call the subconscious is to handle questions that are so big that we can't really process them with our conscious memory. There's a limit to the size of how much we can look at a given moment in conscious memory. But even beyond that, we can't handle myriad different details, consciously at least, when we're making a decision. That's kind of the nature of the human brain. We do have limits there. I think everybody would agree that that is true. What the limits are, I don't actually know specifically, and I don't know how well we agree on those. But I would be surprised if anybody disagrees with me on the concept that they're not changing much, if at all, over time. Number two, though, the information overload. We are certainly changing over time how much information is thrown at us. That's absolutely indisputable. We've got the computer age, which did a lot of it, but then the interconnectivity, internet age, the World Wide Web. We had mass media before that, but it still was one of those things where you walk into your living room and you listen to the TV or the radio, and you turn it on, you turn it off, and you're not genuinely about watching and listening to it all the time. Whereas now, with the internet, we have this huge amount of information all the time. How many links do we have to click on in a given day just to follow what's going on in an office discussion, for example? Or, you know, you get emails that on a tech list or a discussion list that give you links to go read more information. If anybody's ever tried to research a concept on Wikipedia, you go into something like religion, you get pages of links that just cover individual aspects of one thing. And it's wonderful that we have a huge amount of information, but it is literally so much that the human brain can't handle nearly everything it can get to now. And that is a change. And again, that's not new. Here's what I think is relatively new. Number three, how it's being aimed at us and how it's becoming both a force to reckon with and a force to by some people be managed. And that's really what I think is the crux of our problem here. At this point, it is completely possible for a person or a small number of people to say something on social media, Twitter, Facebook, etc., and have thousands, if not tens of thousands or more, people see it and develop followers and develop a list of people that like the idea. And I'm going to warn you, this one, this element, number three, is going to take the longest by far for me to discuss because it is a multifaceted issue. There's multiple ramifications and multiple sort of parts of this. So one of them is, if I have 5,000 followers, can tweet something and a bunch of people RT it, and there's a whole bunch of people that see that. But my underlying point in that really is the second part of what I said, which is that you can get followers and people that believe in what you're saying. What we used to have is this kind of hierarchy of information management, which was caused by geography. If you lived in a small town, the social media, per se, were the bars and churches and grocery stores and where you actually met and talked. If you lived in a big town, there was more of it. You had some newspapers, you had subways where you might have conversations, unless you're in a city where they don't like that. But anyway, it's a cultural, subcultural thing there. But you had a limited number of places where you could have a discussion and actually find people of like mind. Again, pros and cons on this. This is no longer really the case. If I want to find somebody who believes in a very randomly unusual concept, and I'm bold enough to shout it out there really loud on mass media and see if anybody answers me, provided it isn't so nasty that people are going to shoot me down for it, which is its own problem, but that happens. But provided it isn't something like that, it's likely I'll find somebody who thinks it's cool, regardless of how bizarre the idea is. Now, again, good and bad. Good is you can find people that agree with you and find support for the way your head works. But here's where we're starting to approach the line of democracy here. Democracy is based on the concept that averages are better than extremes. The idea, in other words, is if you've got a group of 50,000 people, you're not going to get a vote of more than half of those people, more than 25,000 people, if the idea is so crazy that it would hurt you. And the implicit assumption is ideas that are crazy enough to hurt you are not going to get mass appeal. That's the reasoning, I think, behind why democracy is considered better than a lot of other forms of government. It kind of allows what we call the law of averages to keep us out of trouble. It, of course, does slow down certain kinds of change and progress. You know, a monarchy can move real fast. A dictatorship can move real fast because there's one boss. And he says, everybody do this, and everybody does this. But it can also be so bad, and we've got lots of examples in our history books of when it was, that it's not generally considered a good idea. In fact, I would wager, and my history is not my best subject, so I'm open to correction on this, but I'd wager that on average, it's been worse to have, in practice, not just in theory, but in practice, it's been worse to have dictatorships and power structures that one or two or a very, very small number of people could actually run things without election or any sort of form of selection that involved a vote, versus a democracy where that's not the case, where we actually each get a real say in the matter. So, again, law of averages is supposed to be good in democracy, but because we now can create a scenario where any idea can find its support, can amass followers, can get copied in social media, etc., the outliers are going to get enough airtime, as it were, that it is possible, first, for an idea that would never have been noticed to be noticed. Now, on the surface, that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's one whole point behind social media. The whole point behind it, in some respects, was to make sure that we wouldn't squelch an idea that was worth listening to by making it absolutely anybody that could put something out there. But what is also happening is people are getting clever and they're figuring out how to make their ideas gain so much popularity that whether they're good or not ceases to be the question. How many people know what they are has become the question. And to finally make my point in concrete terms, the one I said at the beginning, how I think democracy is in trouble here, I believe we have reached a point where I could come up with a small idea, I could find enough supporters for it, I could cleverly engineer how it's being tweeted, retweeted, posted on Facebook, etc., how I say it, and we'll just mention as an aside, there are studies in science of how to say things in a way to make people go your way, such as neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. It's not exactly hypnosis, but it's a literal discipline on speech, on presentation, how you get your point to equal favorable response to your point. Anyway, so those kinds of science exist. So if I'm clever enough, I could do that. And I could make an idea that normally would not have taken over the world, take over the world. Now, I admit I have some ideas in my head as to some of the ways that's already happened. But I'm going to tell you, if I start listing any of them, I will cause a lot of controversy. Why? Because if, by definition, they've already taken over and become big ideas from little ideas, there's going to be people mad at me for listing them in my list of places where I think things went wrong. So at this point, at least, I'm not going to make that list. But I am going to use this readout as to point out that I believe we have to be very careful with the fact that we now have this much power that can be put in a small number of hands. Finally, for this post, I said I'll see if I can get to a where do we go from here, and I'm going to. Number four, if you want to call it that, is how do we defend against this? The answer is what we normally call critical thinking, which I always used to think sounded negative. But what it really means is thinking carefully and individually about whether this is good, bad, good idea, bad idea, good for me, bad for me, whatever. As opposed to just doing what people tell you to do, thinking the way they tell you to think. And people don't usually consciously say, I'm just going to follow whoever. They don't usually decide, I'm not going to think. It isn't that simple. It's more about, I don't want to deal with this, or I don't know how to fight what I'm seeing as the standard viewpoint. That is, of course, a form of security. We want security as a human race. We individually want to be safe. We don't, therefore, wish usually, I'll get back to that in a second, usually to buck the system and be the odd man out. Go back for a second, though, there is, of course, stereotypically more in youth, but not only in youth, this tendency of wanting to buck the system itself becomes its cause. And there are people that are forming groups on that basis. I'm not going to cause that to be an element of that list I was avoiding earlier, but I'm going to say that sometimes rebellions are formed just for their own sake, and that that itself becomes one of those outlier ideas. But that's kind of a deep, it's almost a meta concept, if you will. So anyway, if you have understood to this point that our danger is having people overwhelmed, you understand that by saying critical thinking is a solution, that doesn't mean it's just that's all you do and it's over and we're all safe. What it means is that's a part of it. Critical thinking means if I see an individual piece of information, I'll stop for a second and assess it. Is this something I count as truth? Is this something I count as question mark? As so-and-so believes this and I believe in so-and-so, which, by the way, is different than saying I believe it's true necessarily. But those kinds of things, you assess them carefully. But the reason it's part of it only is because, again, we're getting overwhelmed. We don't have time to do that with everything. That's kind of how we got here. Even before we had the internet, media was digesting information to help us. But of course, they're going to have their own slants on it. There are people who believe in NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, whoever you want. And they're each going to have their own preferential view in some cases, at least, or at least that is a fair argument to make that they might. I'll put it that way to be fair here. And really, if you think about it, it's almost inevitable because as soon as you condense something, you're leaving something out. So the question is, are you going to find a way to never leave out something that's an imbalance? And that's statistically, I think, difficult to do. So it's not new that we have to think carefully. But it is new to say, I think, that we really are getting to a point where I don't know how to solve the problem completely enough. It's almost like we need to expand our mental capacities. Well, that's a whole mess of concepts right there. I mean, we're not going into genetic engineering in this conversation. But believe me, it's crossed my mind. I'm like, how do we fix this? The alternative, one of them, of course, is to destroy all the ways of communicating. That's not exactly a savory concept either. I don't believe in it. I believe it's nothing as powerful as an idea whose time has come. Well, the time for information exchange has come and is not going away. So we can't do it that way either. So we have this impossible situation. Even if every one of us become an expert at critical thinking, can we biologically manage the problem of making intelligent decisions with the amount of information we are required to use in order to make them? Where this leads me, and I said finally, so I'm going to call this 4A, critical thinking was the first idea of where we go from here. But anything past that is a speculation that scares me, because everything I think of to deal with this involves enhancement of intellectual process. We can't make a hive mind out of humanity. We are at this point not capable of enhancing our minds with computers, and that's its own question. We have all kinds of fiction out there discussing ideas like making computers make decisions, but of course then you've got who's in charge of the computers. Aren't we going to create the same problem all over again? Small number of people in charge of a lot of power. So I don't have an answer, but I have this more of an image than a solution. And again, this is why I call these readouts. This is where I've come to as an individual. This is not that I'm telling you this is right, but this is back to readout 000. I said, I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying this is me and what I've come to. So what I've come to at this point is we need to critical think, but we also have to figure out how to find a more effective way of causing, and I'm going to say this carefully in case it isn't a human that makes all the effort, of causing correct decisions about very large-scale, complicated, overwhelmingly complicated problems. We need to find a way to have those decide well by some means. I don't know if there already is a science study devoted to the answer to that question, but I suspect we need one, and I think we need it now. AI, artificial intelligence, is the study of how to make computers think, how to make computers process things. That's a part of it. But the question I'm asking isn't technically how to make it possible for a computer to solve a problem. It's what do we want to do to get the problem solved? And that's a more open question. Do we want to find a way to split it up among people? Do we want to find a way to make a computer do it that isn't going to require a very small number of people to set it up a certain way? I don't have the answer to this. But I think we've got a very urgent need to find an answer to this. Unfortunately, that's the best I can do in this readout. I don't have an answer, but I really think we need one.